Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
There are people in power right now who have opinions about you based on their privilege of skin color. I am in the text. Pilate was European. Jesus was not European. They live in a world shaped by European standards of beauty, shaped by Moynihan studies, shaped by bell curves. They live in a different world from your world altogether. They are ignorant and arrogant, and these are graduates of Harvard and Yale setting policies for you based on the stupidity of David Hume, Immanuel Kant, Voltaire, George Wilhelm Friedrich Hegel, Thomas Jefferson, a pedophile, Theodore Roosevelt, and a racist Supreme Court.
Blue Monday, how are you?
Stop the music. You know, every once in a while, things occur in the United States of America that leave you with your mouth hanging over. You just heard the inner Obama. You just heard the words that are no doubt spoken in the White House when no one is listening. You just heard the modus operandi of Barack Obama and Michelle Obama, is my estimation. Whose words were those? Those were the words spoken in the Metropolitan Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia, by Obama's pastor, Reverend Wright, who said that white supremacy drives world policy. A man who attacked some of the greatest minds in history, Thomas Jefferson and Voltaire and Theodore Roosevelt, as a politician, are beyond reproach in terms of intelligence. And yet this lowlife, nobody, hateful, black supremacist is attacking them as ignorant and arrogant. Now, if it was just a crazy ranting preacher in a church, we wouldn't even pay attention to it. However, you have to understand that Michelle and Barack Obama sat in this guy's church for 20 straight years, had their brains filled with this hatred and these lies, and are now presiding over the destruction of the United States of America. Their minds were warped and brainwashed by this psychotic. If, again, he was not president and he sat in that church, it would be one thing. But here's a man who was president who sat in that church. When I say to you that this is the most divisive, demonic situation this country has ever been in, I am not doing this for effect. When I say to you that the Obama administration admits that tax cuts work in China, listen to this story. While speaking recently about the communist government in China, Undersecretary of State Robert Hormats, an Obama appointee, actually praised China's decision to spur economic growth by lowering taxes. Did you hear? But Obama gave an argument in Vermont on Friday saying the opposite. He says it was basic math that taxes needed to be increased on wealthy Americans so the government could do more for the poor. And then he said, this is not class envy. This is not class warfare. This is basic math. He said, look, if somebody like me gets a tax break that they don't need, let's pause right there. Of course he doesn't need a tax break. He has Air Force 1, 2, 3, U.S. military. He has every expense paid for and then some. What does he need a tax break for? But yet he attacks the very people who support him. And he's actually arguing, this is about the most distasteful thing I've ever heard come out of his mouth, he's actually arguing that's not class warfare, but that's exactly what Obama is engaging in. He's saying if you make above a certain amount, you're actually stealing money from somebody else in the United States of America. Now, why does Obama want to discourage people from being rich? Why does he attack those who work hard and are productive? Why does he support poverty? Why does he attack success? Why does he praise our worst enemies like the Muslim Brotherhood, who has just given $1.5 billion to, or is it $1.2 billion, while trying to put Israel into a box? Why does he cut the funds in the military, resulting in plane crashes such as we saw last weekend? Why does he permit our border to descend into chaos while his Fast and Furious program weaponizes the border? Why does he, as the economy falters, reward his friends in corporations? Why does he reward his cronies who are making off with all the wealth? I've asked these questions on this show. I wrote Trickle Down Tyranny, which, by the way, is now a raging bestseller. I don't know where it's going to be on the list, but thank you for recognizing what's at stake here. Many of you flooded the bookstores last week. And, of course, you know what's going to happen when you bring Trickle Down Tyranny to work, when you bring Trickle Down Tyranny to church, when you bring Trickle Down Tyranny to the polling place, when you bring Trickle Down Tyranny, you're going to see how tolerant the Obama socialists really are. You're going to see the country you really live in. But let us go back to Reverend Wright, who says that white supremacy drives world policy. On the face of it, it's stunning that he would get away with such racism. But when you actually analyze it, it's a lie on top of it all. Because I will remind you, and maybe this will make you uncomfortable, although he says that whites are ignorant and arrogant, 90% of all of you with that, you can call me at 1-800-449-8255. I'm willing to listen to you. The cars you drive, the lights you turn on, the medicines you use, virtually everything you do, including flushing your toilet, was a direct result of the ignorance. If you would let this psychotic get any more traction in this country, we are going to wind up in a state less than the third world. And yet your children have been subjected to this kind of vile hatred in their colleges for well over 15 years now. The so-called deconstructionists, the people who have argued that people of white skin color are actually inferior, who have argued that every white person is a racist and every black person is a victim, they are trying to trigger a race war. I have never seen anything like this, especially in an election year. Let me ask you this question. Do you think that Reverend Wright saying that white supremacy drives world policy occurred today in the Metropolitan Baptist Church in Charleston by accident? Do you believe Obama told Reverend Wright to open up again? Do you believe that Obama wants this hatred out there once again? And ask yourself why Romney says nothing about it. Romney, who could care less, in my opinion, about what we the little people are doing, is out surfboarding somewhere on Easter break or spring break. And here we have the president of the United States engaging in class warfare, triggering hatred like we've never seen since the 60s in this country. Now, it goes back to what Rahm Emanuel said, never let a crisis go to waste. It goes to the point that we're all afraid and take away more of our rights, if not all of our rights. Many of us fear this man. We watch his face. We see utter disdain, arrogance, unlike any ever seen in a democracy before. We're looking at the face of the New World Order. The face of the New World Order is what we're looking at. Do you agree with me when I write that Obama's tyranny brings a loss of freedom? Do you believe that the president is staging nothing less than an assault on our freedoms? Do you believe that this man actually cares about the poor? Or do you think that Obama is using this racial division for his own gain? What is he trying to achieve? Yes, he may steam up the Al Sharptonites. Yeah, he may join the racists in this country who steam up race against race, man against man, brother against brother. So let's say he provokes to get excited and go vote for him again. Do you think that this will alienate the blue-collar white who put him in office? You know, if you turn on the cable channels, you would think that you're living in another country. Did you know the country is still 68% European-American? Did you know that? You would think that the country is 10% European-American. You'd think it's 90% people of color, but you'd be wrong. The country is still 68% European-American. It's a very uncomfortable fact for those at Harvard and Yale and in the White House. But the more he attacks white people through mad dogs like Reverend Wright, the more he's going to alienate the blue-collar white man. And by the way, if he doesn't alienate the blue-collar white man who put him in power, then we're all finished. And I'll say something else that maybe will make you even more uncomfortable. If the blue-collar white man votes for him again, they deserve what they will get. Okay? I'll be right back.
Savage.
There are people in power right now who have... The ignorance and arrogance of white supremacy have the shapers and movers of world policy living in a different world from people of color altogether. And the sooner you realize that, the better off you're going to be.
You're listening to the inner Obama. This is Reverend Wright. This is not from 5 years ago. This is from April 9th, 2012. Attacking white people and glorifying people of color based on race. This is naked racism. This is something you would hear inside the Nation of Islam. But this is exactly what Obama sat through for 20 straight years, and he was not vetted by the vermin in the media. Not vetted by one person in the media. Not one person in the media dared ask him, how could you sit through that? And you know, as I sit here, Obama is going to get away with it again. You know and I know that Mr. Romney doesn't have the heart to stand up and demand an answer from Obama and ask him if he agrees with these clips of his sermon from Reverend Wright. But I want to remind you of something. I want to remind you what we're facing here. We're facing a nightmare. You know, there was a movie years ago called Burn with Marlon Brando. I'm one of the few people who even remember it. It's actually one of Brando's best movies, but he plays a white man who goes out to the Caribbean to be a plantation master, and he joins the slaves in a slave revolt. The slaves revolt and burn down the master's house and then burn down the cane field. God knows what they... Same thing happened in ex-Rhodesia, became Zimbabwe. Great talk about the evil white man. Kicked the white man off the land. Said, oh, we now own the farms. Now Zimbabwe is a basket case, importing food when it once exported food. You have to understand that this hatred is often based upon nothing but hatred and stupidity and ignorance. But I want to remind you, as I have in many of my books, that what I'm about to say is true. And if you can argue with one word of it, you're welcome to call me. And if you can prove that I'm a racist for reminding you that trains, planes, cars, rockets, telescopes, tires, telephones, radios, television, electricity, atomic energy, computers, fax machines are all miracles made possible by the minds and spirits of men who Reverend Wright hates and calls ignorant and stupid. Names like Ampere, Bell, Caselli, Edison, Ohm, Faraday, Einstein, Cohen, Teller, Shockley, Hertz, Marconi, Morse, Popov, Ford, Volta, Michelin, Dunlop, Watt, Diesel, Galileo, and other evil, arrogant, ignorant white males. Shall I remind you again of some of the other inventions, or does this disturb you in some way? Curse me if you want. Curse all white males if you want, but that won't change anything. But if you want to call me a liar, you'll have to come up with the proof that I'm wrong. Remember, I didn't say there were no important contributions by non-white males. I said the overwhelming majority of inventions are from white males. Of course, I know about such things as the Chinese and gunpowder, but they didn't take it much beyond firecrackers and pyrotechnics. I know about the pyramids and masonry of South America. I know about the zero of the Arabs, but would we have atomic physics and electricity if it hadn't been for the ancient Greek philosophers who, for example, had the idea that all matter consists of tiny atoms? Is that something that Reverend Wright can even fathom in his pea brain? Can he even comprehend what an atom is? All he knows is that racism sells, hatred sells. Aristotle, 5th century BC, 25th century pre-PC, used electric charges to treat gout. Archimedes perceived the center of gravity of solids, cylinders, and spheres. From the basic discoveries of Greek civilization, it went to the Romans. And after the fall of Rome, it passed to later Europeans who expanded on the scientific knowledge. In modern times, these ideas were developed by such European white males as Volta, Ampere, Watt, Bell, Edison, and Einstein, who provided the basis for most of the technical wonders of today. All of them ignorant, arrogant white males. Maybe you got your enlightenment from one of the Ivy League institutions of diseducation. Maybe they taught you that it's all a result of white racism and oppression. That every time a potential Einstein, Edison, or Ford popped up in the third world, a white hit squad would swoop down and eliminate him before he had a chance to prove himself. Maybe they didn't have proper daycare facilities. Maybe our would-be innovator came from a dysfunctional family. Maybe they told you that. Well, it's all wrong. The fact of the matter is, be very careful what you're saying. Because if you destroy the white male, as Obama is out to do on a daily basis by attacking the successful white males. Of course he likes the white male in the gutter. Of course he admires the white male who is a dependent of the government. But he seems to hate the very people he lives off. Who are his advisors? You would think that Rahm Emanuel is not a white male. You would think his good friend from Chicago, whose name I forget. Does anyone remember his name? Obama's brain? Axelrod is not a white male, but you'd be wrong. I am trying to act as Paul Revere for this country. I'm warning you that this man is out to destroy you. He wants to not only turn this into the socialist states of America, he literally wants to enslave you one way or the other. I don't mean it literally, but the fact of the matter is this is a tyrant. We have a naked Marxist president who is espousing Marxism on a daily basis. It's all in my New York Times bestseller, Trickle Down Tyranny. Read it and argue with me, but for God's sakes, don't argue out of stupidity.
Savage.
Number one, I'm not divisive. The media is divisive. Number two, CBS, ABC, SNBC, and Fox News spent $4,000 each buying 20 years of my sermons so that they could hear what Barack Obama had heard for 20 years. Then they took an 8-year-old sermon and a 5-year-old sermon and took two clauses out of context to try to scare white voters away from Barack Obama.
Okay, so that's Reverend Wright saying that he's not divisive and that these news media outlets took him out of context. All right, let's take it on the face that he's not lying. And yet in the same sermon, what I'm about to play for you is not taken out of context, or is it? Listen to clip two.
There are people in power right now who have opinions about you based on their privilege of skin color. I am in the text. Pilate was European. Jesus was not European. They live in a world shaped by European standards of beauty, shaped by Moynihan studies, shaped by bell curves. They live in a different world from your world altogether. They are ignorant and arrogant, and these are graduates of Harvard and Yale setting policies for you based on the stupidity of David Hume, Immanuel Kant, Voltaire, George Wilhelm Friedrich Hegel, Thomas Jefferson, Theodore Roosevelt, and the racist Supreme Court.
That's Obama's inner man. That is Reverend Wright. He's at it again, saying that a genius like Voltaire, a genius such as Jefferson, these geniuses are nothing compared to Reverend Wright. He's trying to turn the world upside down. I didn't take it out of context. It's him speaking this weekend. Let me ask you something. Should I not play any of this? Because I seem to be the only show in the country who is playing Reverend Wright's white supremacy speeches from this weekend. Am I wrong to play it? Am I causing more harm than good by playing Reverend Wright at this time? Should I be like the Republicans and not play it? Should I turn the other cheek? Should I make believe Reverend Wright is not doing this? Should I ignore the fact that Obama actually must think the same way since he sat in the same church for 20 years? Should I play this tape or not? Because if you say don't play it, I won't play it. Because I don't really want to upset Reverend Wright or any of his followers. I like them to live in their own world of ignorance and false arrogance as they attack people of another race while not saying while saying they're not racist themselves. It's sickening that I didn't think I'd live in an America like this. Let's take the callers and see what you have to say on the Savage Nation. Eric in New York on WOR. What do you make of Reverend Wright doing this weekend?
Well, first of all, I'm a black American, and I say play it. Play it. Please play it, because you're the only one who's playing it. I'm just so frustrated. Nobody. You're the only one who's coming out and talking about this man and telling exactly what the truth is. And I salute you for it, Dr. Savage.
Please. Eric, why is Wright doing this now? He was told to shut up by Obama right after the election. He disappeared. Now he's popping up again and expressing hatred towards white people in the most vile, despicable manner. Why is he doing this?
Dr. Savage, you've said it all along. It's a conspiracy. It's the media. It's the complex. It's all those people who want to keep whatever they got going. It is not an accident. It's all contrived. And I'm just praying that that more people will hear your voice and will act, especially black Americans. It's like we're zombies.
Well, I don't know. I don't live in a bell jar. I live in the real world. I run into people of different races and nationalities. I basically am a loner. But when I run into black people in restaurants or bars, they're usually middle class black people. They seem to agree with me. Who in the world is Obama and Wright addressing? Who are they addressing?
I think they're addressing white people and blacks who just are mesmerized by the fact that there's a black man in the White House, which I might add, the media prepared us for 2 years prior to his election by having a black guy in the White House on television program. It was all contrived. It's all contrived. And you're the only.
Well, I don't care if there's a black man in the White House, but this is not just a black man in the White House. This is a naked Marxist tyrant in the White House. And he's
exactly. And
where is the freedom? Where is one statement about freedom and liberty and individual rights and anything coming out of Reverend Wright's mouth or Obama's mouth? When have you last heard Obama express the tenets of our Constitution? I have never heard it from him. Never.
I haven't either. And it's almost as if people are not listening. The man says what he's doing.
Exactly. That's what I've been alleging for years now. He's not hiding it. In trickle-down tyranny, I prove beyond a reasonable doubt he's not hiding it. He's showing it. He says I'm a communist. He says I'm a Marxist. He doesn't use those words, but he says it in all of his policies and actions.
And that's why I don't understand. How is it that people could be so blind? It's like he's there. It's like the Pied Piper. You know, he's leading all the kids to the water.
Eric, if I send you trickle-down tyranny, would you hide it or would you show it?
I will show it.
You got it.
It's
on the way. You got it. It's on the way. Yeah, you got it. My heart's actually pounding. I don't know how much more of this I can possibly take. I really don't know how much I can take. Listening to the hatred coming out of this White House, the hatred coming out of Reverend Wright. You say, well, come on now. You're merging the two. They're not one and the same. All right, you can have your opinion. I have mine. Something's wrong with this picture. For Reverend Wright, who has been told to dummy up for 2 years now, to suddenly come out with this anti-white tirade in church this weekend. Okay? Listen to clip three. Listen to three.
The ignorance and arrogance of white supremacy have the shapers and movers of world policy living in a different world from people of color altogether. And the sooner you realize that, the better off you're going to be.
Now, are we listening to Louis Farrakhan or Obama's Reverend Wright? You're not listening to Louis Farrakhan. It's the very same tone, the very same speech. And your president sat in a church for 20 years listening to this. You say, well, he disavowed him. Well, he better disavow him now. You think Obama should disavow Reverend Wright for this speech today? Well, he won't. Why won't he? Because you're not hearing it anywhere but on this little old show. Little radio show. No one listens to it. I don't exist. As in the ex-Soviet Union, I'm banned on Fox News. I'm banned in the United Kingdom. I'm banned because I dare say what needs to be said. I dare speak truth to power, one man's opinion, if you want to put it to you that way. So therefore, Fox will have nothing to do with me, to their detriment. My book is still going to make it to the top three or five on the New York Times list. I will find out Wednesday morning, but you did it. So if I'm non-existent, if I don't exist because O'Reilly has a golden shillelagh that he uses to shut anyone up, he has a golden shillelagh that he uses to shut anyone up who competes with him, and they're so fair and balanced that they'd rather have a prostitute or a drug dealer on the show than Michael Savage. Shows you how fair and balanced Fox News is under this regime. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter, but I tell it to you for a reason. It's not because I'm hurting or I'm complaining. I'm telling it to you because there's a vast government media complex, and it doesn't end with ABC, CBS, or NBC. It begins with ABC, CBS, and NBC, and frankly, it ends with Fox News. They're all part and parcel of the mainstream media, as is, sorry to tell you, Rush Limbaugh. Although Rush Limbaugh is under fire right now, he's part and parcel of the major media. So I've painted myself into a corner, I admit it. But in this corner I sit, and in this corner this man, Michael Savage, looks at the world, and I can't believe what I'm watching. I can't mention certain names, and I don't know how to put it in a way that would preserve his privacy, so I'll try to do it in a certain way. In a certain area where I live sometimes, there is a man who is a fairly well-known movie personality, and I see him from time to time. He's been in many, many movies. I never talk, I run into him five times, usually over our dogs. He has a little dog, I have a little dog. His dog pees on my dog's bushes, my dog pees on his dog's bushes. And when he walks down the street, sometimes we talk. He's a very nice man. We never talk politics. I know he's a far leftist. And I've even joked about it a couple of years ago. I said, how good can it be that you have a far left and a far right guy in the same street? The fact of the matter is, who really knows what any man's politics are behind the scenes? You're telling me that Spielberg, Katzenberg, and Matzenberg really want to pay Jerry Brown another 5% of their income in taxes? Are you kidding me? They could write a check to the governor if they really want to pay more. But they don't want to pay any more. So who are they really behind the scenes? I have no idea. Anyway, he says to me, as we're talking, I don't know how it came up. I wished him a happy Easter. He wished me a happy this or that. And he says, you know, there's a man who really likes you by the name of Mort Saul. I said, you're kidding. I love Mort Saul. Mort Saul goes back to the 1950s. He predated Lenny Bruce. Would you believe this? He says he listens to your show. He really loves you. I hope I'm not blowing Mort. This could kill Mort Saul's career now in his 80s. This guy was so far ahead of the curve that people have forgotten him. But he was ahead of Lenny Bruce, and he's still here. And he apparently likes listening to me. I said, well, I love him. I haven't seen him, you know, in years, but this man is still out there? Yes. So I said, well, man, I'd like to meet him. What a thrill that would be for me. So I made a thing. We'd have coffee in my house one of these days. The point I'm making is, you'd be very, very surprised to find out that so-called liberals love Michael Savage. Why? Because I'm not who they say that I am. In fact, most people who actually listen to me know that I'm one of the true individualists left in this country. You can't categorize me. You can't say I'm a right winger. You can't say I'm a left winger. You can't say I'm anything except I'm Michael Savage with one man's opinion. I will tell you this, I'm an anti-communist. That you can say for sure, and that is because 90 million people were killed by communists in the last century. I'm not in favor of mass murder, so I'm an anti-communist. So that you can be sure of. You want to call me a conservative, an independent, that's fine. I vary on certain issues, but the point is I'm not trying to have you define me. I'm having me define you. So who are you? You don't have to walk around saying, because I don't like Obama, I'm a right winger. Because I will hazard a guess on this show right now that 50 to 75% of mainstream Democrats are very uneasy with this man in the White House and his minions. I'd say it's even higher. I would say that any working man or woman in this country who is a Democrat is frightened of this man because he's targeting them. He's targeting the middle class. He's targeting the bourgeoisie. He wants to tax the millionaires now. Tomorrow it's the man making $200,000. The year after that's the man making $100,000. If they took 100% of everything everyone made in this country, they still could not support the budget that this naked Marxist has created. They still could not support this gang that is robbing us blind. This gang that is printing money. This gang that has robbed our flag. This gang that has raped Lady Liberty. They could not stop this man if they gave them every penny. Trickle-down tyranny is not a title. It's a statement of fact. I'll be back.
Savage.
The God of racists is not the God of righteousness. The God of the greedy is not the God of grace. The God of Wall Street is not the God of Main Street. Those are two different gods. And I ain't talking about Allah and Yahweh. Those are the same name for the same God. And I'm not talking about black and white. That some of y'all think I'm talking about white folk. There's a whole lot of folk that look like you who worship in some other God. Somebody shout Clarence Thomas. Hallelujah.
So anyone who is not a communist is a bad person to this communist preacher. A good friend of Barack Obama, a good friend of whatever the heck his name is, Bill Ayers, calls, I mean, I'm just flabbergasted. I never lose my ability to even focus, but I have an impossible capacity. I can't conceive how he gets away with this. In the sense that, yes, it's a country where free speech reigns. But for this vile character to espouse such racial hatred at a time like this, and for Romney and the entire white Republican structure to ignore it, is shocking to me. It's beyond comprehension to call Voltaire ignorant and arrogant, to call Thomas Jefferson a pedophile and get away with it. Why is he doing it now? I'm asking you a loaded question. I believe it's because Obama's brain, Axelrod, has told him to unleash again. How can I ever prove it? I can't. But I believe that Obama's brain, Axelrod, sat down and said to Wright, go, you're on. Let it out again. Let her rip. Start the racial hatred again. Start the racial fires going again. Let her rip. Well, the only calculation he's making is that this will excite the black base. And he's figuring the white male, the blue-collar white male is so stupid that he'll vote for Obama again. In that sense that he's actually making that calculated risk. That the white male who voted for Obama the first time will do it again because he's that much of a moron. He has his hat on backwards. He goes to a ball game, wears a jersey with a ball player's name on it. Has a golf club and in the closet. Doesn't know what's going on in the world. Could care less. That's what he's calculating, Obama's brain. That's what I'm guessing. All right, let's take your calls and see what you think. Why is Mr. Wright doing this now, Reverend Wright doing this now? Sacramento, Jim, go ahead, please. Why is Reverend Wright espousing such hatred towards whites at this time?
Well, I think it's right, like you just said. It's to incite more the white person to vote for Obama than it is for the black person, because Obama knows he's got the black people in his pocket. It's to get that left-wing, liberal, white European back in his pocket again, and that's the way
Well, you know that the children in our schools believe this. You know that they've been brainwashed for well over 15 years with deconstructionism and an invented reality along the lines of what Reverend Wright is espousing. They have a thing called white studies. You have any idea what they're doing to our children in the universities, these communists?
Oh, exactly what they're doing. It's terrible.
Jim, I'm sending you trickle-down tyranny. For those of you who are listening to this show, this is the Savage Nation. We've heard the voice of the vile Reverend Wright saying white supremacy drives world policy, basically attacking some of the great minds of history, Voltaire, Jefferson, and calling them ignorant and arrogant. And I've reminded you that virtually all of your inventions were invented by European males. Trains, planes, cars, rockets, telescopes, tigers, telephones, radios, television, electricity, atomic energy, computers, fax machines, all made possible by the minds and spirits of men with names like Ampere, Bell, Casselli, Edison, Ohm, Faraday, Einstein, Cohen, Teller, Shockley, Hertz, Marconi, Morse, Popov, Ford, Volta, Michelin, Dunlop, Watt, Diesel, Galileo, and other white males hated by Reverend Wright and those who espouse this insanity. Ladies and gentlemen, I can't help you if you don't understand what I'm saying to you. If you don't understand that you are listening to a prophetic voice on the radio, I'm gonna step out from behind my normal role as talk show host, humble me. because I'm not going to put up with this anymore. I'm here to save the country and save you. That's all I can say to you. And whether you believe me or not doesn't matter to me. I pray to God you understand what you're facing. But you have to understand you're facing something you've never faced in your life. We've had corrupt presidents. We've had good presidents, bad presidents, great presidents, poor presidents. We've never had a Marxist in the White House who hated the country. Obama hates the country. He hates the nature of the country. And whoever wins the presidency, I wrote in Trickle Down Tyranny, must be the exact opposite of Barack Obama. You understand that? He must love the country. Do you think Obama loves America? Do you? Do you think Obama loves America? I don't. I don't believe it at all. I don't believe it at all. He's cutting the military. Why is he cutting the military? Why is he cutting the military while China is increasing their military? Russia is increasing their military. Why is he doing it? Why is he printing money when Europe itself has said to the United States, you've got to cut down on the spending and the printing because you're going to destroy your economy? Why is it that everything Obama is enacting, Europe has already tried and discarded? Why? The next president must be proud of America, willing to laugh at the lunatic fringe pushing the theory of supremacy this, supremacy that. The next president must restore America to its position as the supreme military and financial power in the world. And unless they stand up to this endless stream of lies, we are going to see this man win again, and the rest will be history. Après moi le déluge. I'm warning you, he will be president for life. Because if he can get away with that, he can get away with anything, which would include eliminating term limits with the stroke of a pen. He will be president for life. Believe it or not, it could happen here.
Savvy.
Warning. The Michael Savvy Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
And arrogance of white supremacy have the shapers and movers of world policy living in a different world from people of color altogether. And the sooner you realize that, the better off you're going to be. There are people in power right now who have opinions about you based on their privilege of skin color. I am in the text. Pilate was European. Jesus was not European. They live in a world shaped by European standards of beauty, shaped by Moynihan studies, shaped by bell curves. They live in a different world from your world altogether. They are ignorant and arrogant, and these are graduates of Harvard and Yale setting policies for you based on the stupidity of David Hume, Immanuel Kant, Voltaire, George Wilhelm Friedrich Hegel, Thomas Jefferson, a pedophile, Theodore Roosevelt, and the racist Supreme Court.
How do you feel knowing that your president sat in this church for 20 years listening to this hate speech and later became president of the United States because the very same people at NBC and ABC that rigged up the tape last week about the poor guy in Florida, Zimmerman, the very same people rigged up the tape for Obama and purged it of any reference to right? How would you feel about the president listening to this today? How do you feel about a president who's supposed to be the president of all the people, who obviously still hates a certain group of the society, whether it be based upon income or upon race? Can you expect this president to give them the same treatment as other people? Will he nominate anyone from this group of white males to the Supreme Court or his cabinet? Did and apparently still does. What policies do you think Barack Obama would enact? Would they be any different than those pointed out in Trickle Down Tyranny? Could he do anything more to have taken away your basic freedoms than he's already done in this short period of time? What could he have done so far that he hasn't done? Why is Reverend Wright unleashing his hate speech right now when he was told to dummy up shortly after the election because it was very embarrassing for Obama? Why would Obama's brain, Axelrod, why would Obama's brain, Axelrod, permit Reverend Wright to go off like a rocket again? What is he doing here? I'd like to know what you think. Something doesn't make sense here. And there's an explanation for everything. This country is in lockdown right now. This country's never been as locked down as it is today. They strip search 90-year-olds in wheelchairs. They make 6-year-olds in wheelchairs cry at the airport. This country's in lockdown right now, and yet this man is allowed to go off like a hateful rocket in his church because we have freedom of speech, First Amendment rights. So Reverend Wrong goes off like a rocket. No one in the media plays the tape. Romney continues to surf away. Where are they all? How is this possible that this could be going on with no one saying anything about it? Something's wrong here. Any minister who stands in the pulpit, not a Christian. You see, if I were running for president, I'd smile during a debate with Obama. I'd smile at him and say, you know, you sat in Reverend Wright's church. I don't care whether ABC's moderator would go, ooh, I wouldn't care. I'd continue to smile. I'd say, you sat in Reverend Wright's church for America. Do you still believe in that, Mr. Obama, or don't you? Do you still hate America? Or have you learned to love America? That's what he should say, but you know he won't say it. Because already Romney signaled what he's going to do. It's a foregone conclusion. He lost the chess game. It's going to take a miracle. In some small way, Reverend Wright speaking like this is a miracle. It's a miracle because it could be an awakening for the people who were hoodwinked by this machine into putting this naked Marxist in the presidency. You understand that? This could be a godsend, but it's not being played anywhere. You and I both know that the great Rush Whalebow will not play it tomorrow. The great Rush Whalebow will not play this tomorrow. I doubt very much that Rush Whalebow will play this. I'm positive that Wallbanger won't touch it. I know Shillelagh won't go near it. I know the leg crossers won't touch it. So there it is. You can record it if you want. It's up on the Drudge Report. I didn't create this tape. I didn't edit this tape. I didn't take it out of context, as Reverend Wright says. Listen to what he says in clip one. He lies when he says the media did this. But I didn't make these words up.
Number one, I'm not divisive. The media is divisive.
Number two. Let's stop here. Okay, wait. The media is divisive, and you said that Voltaire and Jefferson is a pedophile. You said Jefferson's a pedophile. You said that Voltaire is ignorant and arrogant. You said that Jefferson is a pedophile. Theodore Roosevelt in a racist Supreme Court. Where is this man coming from? How could he say this and be listened to? Why am I playing it? Because I worry. I worry deeply that this is the inner mind of Obama. I have no reason to suspect that Obama has changed his philosophy, frankly. That's what gets me sick every day. To believe otherwise would be foolish. To believe otherwise would be quite foolish, by the way. You know, I don't even know if Reverend Wright is even in trickle-down tyranny. I don't think he's in there because he was gone. You see, this is interesting. I'm looking under the W's in the index. Winnie the Pooh, wiretapping, Wisconsin, Frank Wisner, World Economic Forum, World Trade Center, World War I, World War II, and then we go to Yahoo, Yale Law. There's no mention of Wright. So how did that happen, that he's back again? And why now? Where did he come from? We've heard from the other reverends just last week, lying again, their stock and trade, lying and trying to incite racism and riots and race war in the country. But we haven't heard from this guy. Why is that? Who is it who unleashed Wright right now? Sacramento John, why do you think Wright is doing this now?
Yes, Michael Savage. Yes, I believe it's like a pedophile, like he's referred to, that he couldn't stop it anymore. He was up there in front, and he just couldn't let it go.
You're not saying he's a pedophile. You're saying it's like a pedophile who can't control himself.
What's in your heart will come out, you know.
So you think it's spontaneous. You think Reverend Wright unleashed this hatred towards white people in America again this weekend because it just popped out? You don't think he was told to do it?
I don't think he was told to do it. I think he accidentally let it out, and he just couldn't stop after he started talking.
Okay, that's a possibility. But you tell you what, I would suspect that if we had a legitimate media, Reverend Wrong's tape should be played and that the president should be forced to answer the press. Does he still follow Reverend Wright? Do they communicate? Has he seen him since he became president? Has he disavowed Reverend Wrong's statements? Something's wrong here. Listen what Lynn in Ohio is about to say. Lynn, go ahead. You're absolutely right when I see on the board what you're going to say. Go ahead, please.
Yes, yesterday I was listening to their commentaries, and the media never, ever, all they did was talk about Romney's Mormonism, and I kept saying to myself, why doesn't one of the Republicans talk or ask why Reverend Wright was okay to be expressed?
Well, that's right, because Reverend Wright is not a Christian by definition. He's a black liberation theologist. He is espousing politics, not religion. There's no Jesus in any of this message. There's no God, no religion. It's all black liberation theology. It's naked black Marxism. And so if the president sat in the church where he listened to black Marxism for his whole 20 years, do you think he doesn't believe any of this anymore? Would you believe it? You see, because everything Obama says seems to still reflect this mindset. It hasn't changed. And yet, of course, the media attacks Romney because Romney lets them do it. Because Romney doesn't stand up and get righteous and say, you know what, I'm not going to answer your question until you ask Obama about Reverend Wright. Any other questions? That would be appropriate, wouldn't it?
It would.
Lynn, have you bought trickle-down tyranny yet?
I went to the local Walmarts and all the stores in our area. None of them have it, and I was told that it was corporates. They are the ones that provide it.
Okay, well, Barnes & Noble sells it, as does many other stores. I'm sending you a free copy. And tomorrow we will know what happened, whether this one show can change the course of history. I mean that. I mean every word I just said. Remember, if we don't bump to the top of the list, which we'll know tomorrow and or Wednesday, I'm sitting here hoping, because if we do, then everyone has to talk about the title. They can't ignore it. If we don't, and Mad Cow beats us, it's over. Then you didn't do what you're supposed to do. I'm very serious about it. And I'm telling you again, it's not going to change my lifestyle if you bought 1 million copies or you bought 100,000 copies. It will not change my lifestyle, but it might change your life. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Okay, so the media attacks Romney's Mormonism, which is distasteful to me. It makes me sick. While they never ask Obama about his years in the madrasas, his childhood as a Muslim, and where he stands today with regard to Reverend Wrong. And if you think I'm inventing this for effect, you are wrong. Listen to clip 14.
As a person of faith that Romney is, and as a Mormon, it's the core of who he is. As a missionary for
2 years. This low-life nobody. Pretty boy David Gregory, whoever he is, attacking Romney for his religion. And you say nothing. But it doesn't end with David Gregory, the pretty boy. It now goes to the pretty boy Jake Tapper of ABC again, ripping into Romney for his religion. Listen to this vermin in 15.
Mitt Romney will almost certainly be the Republican nominee. He'll be the first member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints to be the nominee. A lot of evangelicals.
Okay, so there it is, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. While Obama was the first person from the mixed faith of a Christian mother and a Muslim father, and according to Muslim doctrine, so far as I know it, it's via patrilineal descent, and therefore Obama was a Muslim at birth. If you think I'm inventing that, I mean, just look at the childhood photos. He was in a mosque. Nothing wrong with that. Many Muslims are very nice people. Not all of them are extremists. Just as not all Mormons are extremists. I know you wouldn't believe that listening to David Gregory and Jake Tapper. Every Mormon I've ever met is the most decent people I ever met. I'd rather do business with them than anybody else. I've done business with Mormons. Never robbed me, never cheated me, never stole from me, never sued me, never dragged me into court and kept me in court. Nicest people I ever met. Wish I could say that about others. But that's neither here nor there. It's the triple standard from the vermin in the media, the left-wingers like David Gregory, Jake Tapper. And I would say they should be ashamed of themselves, but you know that men like this have no souls. To me, David Gregory and Jake Tapper, you say, how come they have no shame? First, you have to be a man with self-respect to have shame. So since he's not a man with self-respect, how can he have shame? What's there to be ashamed of if he feels nothing wrong in what he's doing and attacking Romney for being a Mormon? That's what his bosses tell him to do. That's what they do at their little parties, tell each other that Romney's a Mormon. Romney's a Mormon. So how come they didn't say that Obama was a Muslim when he was a child? Should that count? And it really shouldn't matter. Their politics are what matter to me, not their religion. I'm uncomfortable talking about it, but since they're making religion the issue, then I think it's fair game to ask ourselves again if Obama's religious background has any bearing on this election. I would say no. I would say the most important part of Obama's background is not the fact that his father was a Muslim or that he went to a madrasa as a child. I say the most important part of his background were the years he spent in Reverend Wright's church becoming brainwashed against God, you know, against America. Brainwashed against anyone who has done anything. Brainwashed to believe that poverty should be rewarded. Brainwashed to believe that success should be punished. Brainwashed to believe that our worst enemies are good and our allies like Israel are bad. Brainwashed to attack the military and cut them to a bare minimum. Brainwashed to permit the Mexican government to overrun our borders and to descend our nation into chaos. Brainwashed by Reverend Wright into rewarding his cronies and his corporate friends to permit them to get away with virtual stealing and robbery, giving them fat grants and contracts and letting them pay almost no taxes and attack the middle class as he does. That's what worries me more than whether or not he was a child Muslim or not. That's what really worries me. But I ask you, why did Obama's brain, Axelrod, let Reverend Wright go off like this if he did so? I think that Obama's using Wright as a mouthpiece. I personally think he was told to say these things. I personally think it comes on the heels of that other wonderful, esteemed, superior mind, that of Al Sharpton. Another esteemed, highly educated individual. Another highly esteemed individual with great background in education and philosophy. A man who couldn't even say the word Hume. A man who has never read any of these philosophers that he puts down. Do you actually believe that Reverend Wright has read Voltaire? Do you actually believe that Reverend Wright has read Hegel? Do you actually believe this? You believe Reverend Wright would have read Hegel, Jefferson, Voltaire, David Hume? You know he hasn't. This was written by some white chick from Harvard. Some of the white studies crowd. The arrogance and the ignorance of white supremacy. White supremacy drives world policy. I've never heard anything like this, especially at a time like this. Do you believe that Obama is behind Wright's tirade? Do you believe that Wright went off like this on his own? I don't believe so. Delaware, Luigi, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation. Fire away.
Hi, Michael. On April the 3rd, I just wanted you to know that the Walmart in Newcastle, Delaware, had your trickle-down tyranny book. They were selling it at a reduced price, and I was, lucky enough to get next to the last copy that they had. I'm not sure how many.
I heard that the book is a raging bestseller, but we won't know until tomorrow. If it is, it's going to make the top of the list. If it does, the media is going to have a problem on their hands because they're going to have to publish it in their list, and the title itself is so shocking that they're going to be reluctant to even put the title of the book on the lists. They're going to have to say blank. Michael Savage's book, blank.
Savage.
Everybody remembers the Acorn scandal, right? Remember the 2009 Acorn investigation by James O'Keefe, Well, James O'Keefe is with us in a few minutes. He trains citizen journalists. He did something new that should be more shocking than the Acorn investigation. And that is, he went into a polling place. Well, listen to this audio. Listen.
A man walks into a poll location in Washington, D.C. and asks about United States Attorney General Eric Holder. The poll worker places a mark next to Eric Holder's name and offers the man Eric Holder's ballot to vote.
Hello. Do you have an Eric Holder?
Checking out here. H-O-L-T-E-R or
D-E-R? H-O-L-D-E-R? That's the name.
And you were a Democrat. I did.
Northwest, that's the address.
Okay.
Nice name.
Please sign me there.
I actually forgot my ID.
You don't need it, it's all right.
I left in the car.
As long as you're in here, you're on our list, and that's who you say you are. You're okay.
I would feel more comfortable if I just had my ID. Is all right if I go get
sure,
a
go back.
I'll be back faster than you can say furious.
We're not going anywhere.
All right, thank you.
All right, so again, we prove through this man, James O'Keefe, who has the greatest guts in the history of journalism, that voter fraud is rampant in America. Do you understand what he just did? He's with us right now. James, I don't know how you do this, but you did it. Tell us, tell the audience, were you shocked that they didn't even know who Eric Holder was?
We've done this a number of times, and they never recognize us, and they don't have any requirement to, you know, show ID or anything. So it's pretty unbelievable. The guy was 23, you know, white kid, and Eric Holder's a 61-year-old black man. So they didn't recognize who Eric Holder was, I guess.
But you and I both know that voter ID is critical to prevent voter fraud. How come Eric Holder doesn't know that? I mean, it's a loaded question because they want voter fraud, don't they?
Well, I mean, it seems to appear that way because every time we've done this four times now, we did New Hampshire, Minnesota, Vermont. The legislatures in those states have changed the laws after we released our videos. But it's absolutely shocking that we're trying to do the right thing. Oh, we'll go to the car and get our ID, and they're saying, no, you don't need your ID. So it's the system is completely broken. The analogy I like to use is like it's like a bank vault door which is swung wide open and the money is just hanging out, and we're filming that process. We're filming that the system is so easily manipulable, and you know, they don't care.
That's well, I think they do care. Remember, the Democrat base requires illegal aliens and double and triple voting to maintain any of their power. Otherwise, they would be in favor of voter ID. Isn't that common sense? Yet they claim it's racist. They say it's racist to demand that people have voter ID. Don't you need voter ID? Don't you need ID to have a driver's license?
You need voter ID to get into the Department of Justice. So you need an ID to get into the actual Justice Department building, and we sent a guy up to the building and said, you know, isn't it hypocritical to require an ID to get into the building? If I want to make a complaint about the fact that requiring ID is racist, I can't get into the Department of Justice in order to do that. So
Without ID.
Exactly.
Yeah, I did this myself years ago. I tried to show my license here in California. She said, oh, no, we don't want to see that. I said, why wouldn't you want to see that? What do you mean you don't want to see my license? How do you know who I am?
Yeah.
So, James, so you've done this in Washington, D.C. You had someone go out who's a young white guy who says he's Eric Holder, and they said, fine, vote here?
Yes. We didn't even say we were Eric Holder. We just said, do you have an Eric Holder? So as not to misrepresent ourselves. And they assumed that we were Eric Holder. And we've done this. We have more tapes in D.C. that we're going to release shortly of various other politicians and celebrities. But we thought that, you know, the Alinsky tactic, you know, personalize it. Nothing could possibly be more personal than showing the own attorney general's ballot being compromised. So hopefully it could.
That's astounding. Has Eric Holder responded? You claim he has. You say he has. What has the Justice Department said?
The Justice Department has responded today. They called this video manufactured, is what they called it. They used
manufactured.
And they sent that over to a couple of their friendly reporter friends at TPM Talking Points Memo. And you know, the video is Mike Wallace passed away yesterday, and I actually looked up to him. I thought that he used to do this type of thing. He used to catch people in the act. That's what investigative reporting is. You produce a story to expose something. So
yes.
It's manufactured, I think, is kind of a cop-out.
Of course it is. But this should trigger the Republican Party, don't you think, James, to demand voter ID laws and cracking down on vote fraud?
They have. In New Hampshire, we showed dead people getting ballots to vote in New Hampshire, and the state Senate in New Hampshire changed the law there. And in Minnesota, we showed Tom Brady and Tim Tebow, NFL football players, registering to vote in false names.
Wow.
And the Minnesota House of Representatives voted into law a constitutional amendment a few weeks ago. So it's definitely galvanizing people, and I'm sure the Attorney General is very upset at us for exposing this, and we'll see what he does. Hopefully he issues some type of reaction, more than just it's manufactured.
I wish to God that you got a little more exposure for this horrible, horrible reality we're living through, James. I'm going to send you a copy of my new book, Trickle Down Tyranny, because, I mean, you're the perfect guy who understands what we're facing here. You know that this is not just a small little pimple on an otherwise good elephant, or shall I say a small pimple on an otherwise decent donkey. We have a donkey that wants to lead us right over the cliff, I think. And I think the tyranny that we're seeing at the ballot box is something that should be frightening any American. Why shouldn't we have voter ID laws in every state of the land? I don't understand it. It's so logical to me.
Well, that's why we're doing what we're doing. We have to get it on videotape, just like the Acorn videos and the NPR videos. When you show something on video, it changes everything. And the Supreme Court, Justice Stevens said in his Crawford decision, you don't need any showing of voter fraud to pass laws to protect against vulnerabilities. So we're trying to catch those vulnerabilities on tape so that you can't deny what you're seeing. And we're going to
How could the listeners of my show help you with this, James? What can they do?
We are a nonprofit. You know, we are not controlled by any corporate media. We do things our own way, and we take risks that the corporate media cannot take. We're not controlled by anyone. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and if you want to help us out produce more of these videos, you go to Project Veritas. That's Project Veritas.com, and make a donation. I'm sure they're going to sue me and try to prosecute me, but you know, I've got a really loyal group of young, courageous citizen journalists I work with, and we're going to keep doing this all year long.
Well, you know I admire you, James, and you're always welcome on the Savage Nation. Good luck with this project. It's a shock. Thank you very much. The time is 41 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the Savage Nation. We're going to go back to the main story of the day, which is Obama's ex-preacher, Reverend Wright, saying white supremacy drives world policy, going on a rant and a tirade attacking various individuals such as Voltaire, Hegel, Jefferson, and Theodore Roosevelt, calling them all racist, ignorant, and arrogant. If you can believe this, it's true. I didn't say it. But I want to play for you again and ask you the primary question of the day. Is Obama behind Reverend Wright in clip two? Listen.
There are people in power right now who have opinions about you based on their privilege of skin color. I am in the text. Pilate was European. Jesus was not European. They live in a world shaped by European standards of beauty, shaped by Moynihan studies, shaped by bell curves. They live in a different world from your world altogether. They are ignorant and arrogant, and these are graduates of Harvard and Yale setting policies for you based on the stupidity of David Hume, Immanuel Kant, Voltaire, George Wilhelm Friedrich Hegel, Thomas Jefferson, a pedophile, Theodore Roosevelt, and a racist Supreme Court.
Now, I would ask Mr. Obama at the next debate, if I were Mr. Romney, do you agree with your former pastor that Voltaire is stupid? Do you agree that Thomas Jefferson is a pedophile? Mr. Obama, do you agree that Theodore Roosevelt is stupid? Mr. Obama, do you believe that the Supreme Court is racist? I would just ask him those questions just to clear things up. But you and I both know that Romney's already told us what he's going to do. He said he's a nice man. He said Obama's a nice man. The exact words that stupid McCain used, that old dummy McCain used it. Oh, remember when the people were screaming before the last election? Ask him about his Muslim background, and McCain said, oh, no, he's a nice man. He just disagreed with it. That was the end of McCain's election. He took the dive. He could have been a contender. He could have been a contender, but he wasn't. He could have been a contender, but he wasn't a contender. He's been relegated back to where he started, which is still a very high position, as you well know, and he's happy with it. He didn't wind up selling Buicks in Yakland or wherever I thought it might happen, him and his lovely wife. having a Buick dealership in Tibet wouldn't have been so bad. It might have been a more honest living than being a senator. Who knows? But the fact of the matter is, this is not a laughing matter. It's not a laughing matter. It's frightening to think that we live in a time when the president's former pastor could make statements like this, and the media would attack Romney as fresh as yesterday on the news shows for being a Mormon, snickering at him, sneering at him, low-lifes like Jake Tapper, non-entities like David Gregory saying Romney's a Mormon, things of that nature, while never saying one word about Obama's background as a Muslim. It's really frightening to think they get away with it. But I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised because the Republicans don't seem to understand what they have to do to win, which leads us to believe they're going to lose, which leads us to believe that the dream that Obama has for the socialist states of America will become a reality, and we will lose, increasingly lose our rights in this country. We'll hear more racism, more hatred, more stupidity than we've ever heard in our entire life. Austin, Texas, Dan, what do you think? Go ahead, please.
Michael, I called in to suggest that Reverend Wright is doing this tirade to actually make Obama look bad. He had a vendetta with him after Obama dumped him during the first election and said, I never listened or paid any attention to that man. And Reverend Wright.
So you think that he's mad because Obama has embraced the lowlife Al Sharpton into the White House for the National Prayer Breakfast and didn't invite Wright in? Is that what he's doing here? He's just being vindictive?
You betcha. Obama dumped him like a dirty shirt, and he wasn't going to put up with it. So now it's his
He dumped Wright like a dirty shirt after he didn't need him anymore, and he invites Al Sharpton into the White House for the National Day of Prayer. So what is that? That's an example of his intelligence, to invite a man of that low mentality into the White House?
Well, he's low mentality and low morals and so forth, but he gets on the TV more often and says things that the TV will put out there more often.
In other words, he can excite the base of foolish people.
Right.
The street radical, agitator. So you think Wright did this to get even with Obama because Obama snubbed him at the National Day of Prayer.
And before that, when it was out in the campaign that Obama sat in Wright's church for 20 years, and then, well, when they asked him about it, Obama said, well, I never heard anything.
Well, do you believe, as I believe, that these were, let's assume we don't know why Wright did this now. Do you agree with me that it's a high possibility that the First Lady and the President still believe the things that Wright put into their head for 20 years?
I'm very sure of it. But they don't want Wright in there getting the credit and being the volatile personality he is. He's too dangerous.
Well, black liberation theology is very dangerous. It's very racist, and it's very frightening to believe that he can get away with this. I'm sending you a copy of what? If you name it, you gain it.
Trickle Down Tyranny.
You got it. It's going to tickle your intellect. I'll be right back. Savage.
As a person of faith that Romney is, and as a Mormon, it's the core of who he is. As a missionary for 2 years, as somebody who was a bishop in the church, which is the, correct me, Congressman, if I'm wrong, the equivalent of being a priest, because it's lay-led, very close association with the church. He doesn't really talk about what guides him so
backstabbing
powerfully.
Piece
Isn't
of
it fair for both scrutiny
you
questions
low-life
so
coward, you.
About the Mormon
you
faith.
Shut up. You shut up. Shut up, pretty boy. That's David Gregory ripping into Romney for being a Mormon. The very same David Gregory who said nothing about Obama's background and his background not only as a Muslim as a youth, which is a fact of reality, whether he is or isn't today is irrelevant. But why are they attacking Romney as a Mormon? Here's a bigger question for you. How come the media seems to be uncomfortable with Romney's Mormonism, but they're quite comfortable with Harry Reid's Mormonism? See, because it's not about his religion. It's about his politics. Harry Reid's a left winger. Romney's a centrist. And so, therefore, all Mormons are not created equal in the minds of the little boys in the media. Some Mormons are more equal than others. But the same happened on ABC with the little man, Jake Tapper, the Lilliputian, who thinks he's a big man because he works for ABC, but he's a Lilliputian. He's right out of the novel about Lilliputians. Jake Tapper, David Gregory, they're Lilliputians. All they're talking about now is Church of Latter-day Saints. Well, I'm not a Mormon, but I'll tell you, I really like Mormons. Nice people, done business with them, good people, never met a bad Mormon, ever. I was once in the herbal business, and I spent time at Salt Lake. I'd go back and forth, never robbed me, never cheated me, never sued me, never took me to court, never kept me in court, never accused me and tried to lock me into a contract. They're good people. I wish I could say the same thing about David Gregory and Jake Tapper, but I don't know them. Canada Tom, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Dr. Savage, and I won't keep you because your time's too important. I did go to a bookstore. They're called Indigo in Canada. I got my books, and I got three of them, and then I went to another store at Indigo. And tonight, when I phoned, I said, I want two more books. They said the soft cover's coming out. I said, I don't want the hardcover.
No, no, no. The soft cover won't be out for you. Trickle-down tyranny's only in hardcover. But you're in Canada, and they let this book go over the border? It wasn't banned yet in Canada?
Okay. And I'm going to tell you, I lived in the States, California, Florida, for 5-6 years. I worked as a youngster pumping gas. I know how hard it is to work. I go out of my car from work here. My business is down 70%. Because I only sell United States. I sell steel in the United States. And people don't have money. And last week I watched CBS, Scott Pelley, 60 Minutes. I've never seen a station put on a talk like this. People from NASA, 7,000 were cut, fired right away. That means another 24,000 in the United States in that town are out of work besides those 7,000. And then they showed a clip. I couldn't believe it, how they would show that Obama 2 years ago was at NASA and said, you've got nothing to worry about. You'll all have your jobs. I've never seen men.
What about Canada having so much? How about Canada, your wonderful country, by the way, the land where my mother was born? She's Canadian by birth. God rest her soul. I've always had a great affinity for Canada, but that country is so left-wing, it's quite worrisome. You have great natural resources. The Keystone Oil Pipeline would have brought thousands of jobs to America and millions of barrels of oil, and Obama killed it, and he gets away with it because of the Lilliputians in the media. Doesn't that rile you, Tom?
$5.40 a gallon right now, and I take the subway 3 days a week. I'll tell you that, okay? And I'm telling you, sure, he said
Tom,
Obama.
I'm going to tell you that you're living in a wonderful country, but I cannot believe. Well, Edward, didn't Canada just move to the conservative side away from liberalism?
They're progressive conservative, Harper, but he wants to sell the oil to China.
I don't blame him. If Obama said no to the oil, why shouldn't it go to China? That's better for Sor Obama's administration. I'm sending you another free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. Thank you very much for supporting this show through that book. Robert in New York, fire away from WOR. We haven't heard from that station yet today. Go ahead.
Dr. Savage, I just want to let you know that I'm a Jewish American, I'm a conservative Republican, and all of my relatives are Obama liberal Democrats.
It must have been a fabulous Seder you just sat through.
Yes.
How is it that Jewish liberals move to Israel, maintain their American citizenship, still vote in American elections, and they continue to vote lockstep for Obama, the socialist anti-Israelite? How is that possible?
I have no idea.
I do. I have an answer for you. Liberalism is a mental disorder. And you know, looking at your relatives, how many of them are on various and sundry medical drugs for psychosis?
I'm not sure.
Well, tell them that the horseradish with the gefilte fish will be better for them than Prozac. Tell them to eat horseradish every day like their ancestors did. It might clear their mind up a little bit if they clear up the sinuses. A free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny goes to you to clean out your intellect. I'll be right back right here on your local affiliate, right on the Savage Nation.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
you know, every once in a while, things come along which you just say, I can't believe what I'm listening to. Here I published the book Trickle Down Tyranny, which is a raging bestseller, where I warn about Obama's socialism, about his tyrannical nature. I remind the audience about Reverend Wright, and out of the blue, you got to listen to the audio, including Obama's radical pastor, Reverend Wright, saying that white supremacy drives world policy.
There are people in power right now who have opinions about you based on their privilege of skin color. I am in the text. Pilate was European. Jesus was not European. They live in a world shaped by European standards of beauty, shaped by Moynihan studies, shaped by bell curves. They live in a different world from your world altogether. They are ignorant and arrogant, and these are graduates of Harvard and Yale setting policies for you based on the stupidity of David Hume, Immanuel Kant, Voltaire, George Wilhelm Friedrich Hegel, Thomas Jefferson, Theodore Roosevelt, and the racist Supreme Court. The ignorance and arrogance of white supremacy have the shapers and movers of world policy living in a different world from people of color altogether. And the sooner you realize that, the better off you're going to be.
By the way, it was whites who freed the slaves. Need I remind Reverend Wright about that? And you need to listen to Obama press secretary spokesmouth Jay Carney Barker saying that their meeting with the Muslim Brotherhood is part of the new reality. I can't believe this.
According to our sources, the Parliamentarian and the Muslim Brotherhood met with Steve Simon and Samantha Power here, who are not low-level administration officials. Why are they being characterized as low-level officials when they're not?
Look, they are mid-level members of directorates at the National Security Council. They're excellent people and experts. They probably do not, in most people's estimation, outrank Senator John McCain or Senator Lindsey Graham, who also met with members of the Muslim Brotherhood. But our policy is clear and is the same, which is that in the aftermath of Egypt's revolution, we have broadened our engagement to include new and emerging political parties and actors. Because it's a fact that Egypt's political landscape has changed and the actors have become more diverse. And our engagement reflects that.
Finally, listen to this absurdity. The president saying that Jesus knew and understood doubt. What does that mean? Does anyone understand what that means?
In the Garden of Gethsemane, with attackers closing in around him, Jesus told his disciples, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." He fell to his knees, pleading with his Father, saying, "If it is possible, may this cup be taken from me." And yet in the end, he confronted his fear with words of humble surrender, saying, "If it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." We all have experiences that shake our faith. We have questions for God's plan relative to us. But that's precisely when we should remember Christ's own doubts and eventually his own triumph.
Reverend Wright gets up at the Metropolitan Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia. And he says, "I'm not divisive." He said, "The media is divisive." And he says, "There are people in power right now who have opinions about you based on their privilege of white skin color." Did you hear this? Then he says, "Jesus was not European. He was not a white man." Then he says, "The ignorance and arrogance of white supremacy is what's shaping the world." This is beyond belief that the president sat in this man's church for 20 years and he was elected. Ladies and gentlemen, I rest my case. When I warn you, trickle-down tyranny is about stopping Obama's dream of the socialist states of America. It's as real as cancer. 1-800-449-8255. And here are the stories today on michaelsavage.com, home of borders, language, and culture. White House has diverted $500 million, that's $500 million, to the Internal Revenue Service to implement Obamacare. Murder that prompted 1 million hijabs protest, apparently not a hate crime, daughter suspected. It's on my website. Muslims killed 50 Christians in an Easter Sunday bombing in Nigeria. The Islamic group Boko Haram. They're here, they're dangerous, and we have a government that is in fact enabling them. It's only a matter of time unless they're stopped. That's why I say, invade the bookstore this week. It's the last chance you have to send the message. You want socialist states of America? No, you don't. Neither do I. than by trickle-down tyranny and carry it around with you like a billboard. Real simple. On the bottom of Michael Savage, serial bank robbers wore a Muslim hijab. They're wanted for several bank robberies in Philadelphia. Really, wearing religious outfits and robbing a bank. I guess that makes it a sacred robbery. Mayor Bloomberg said that New York wouldn't fire teachers if they were serial axe murderers. You hear this? He's right. NBC is claiming that the edit of the Trayvon tape is a mistake, not on purpose. Bull. Bull. They aired an edited call from George Zimmerman making him sound like a racist. NBC should be put in prison, whoever did this. It's a hate crime. Obama flag raises fury in Philadelphia. An American flag that switches the stars and stripes for a picture of the dictator-in-chief. You hear this? You hear what they're doing to this country? A congressman, one of them, fears an Obama martial law power grab. He's the only one other than me who points it out, as I do in trickle-down tyranny. But okay, don't believe me. Don't believe me. Believe NBC. Eric Holder, a white man, was offered Eric Holder's ballot in his hometown. Eric Holder says there's no voter fraud. A white man went in and said, I'm Eric Holder. They said, go ahead and vote. The white man tried to show his ID. They said, don't show it to us. There's no need for it. That's what's going on in your country. O'Keefe strikes again. He's from the Breitbart Group. Stunning lack of diversity in Obama's reelection campaign. The very white people he claims are racists or supremacists, well, at least Reverend Wright did, are the ones who are supporting Obama. He said that Clarence Thomas is worshiping some other god. Romney is boogie boarding on a beach. Streisand won't sing at Obama fundraiser. What a loss that is. Funny girl. U.S. Navy deploys second aircraft carrier to Gulf. Let's hope they still have propellers on the aircraft carrier. Maybe they removed them for a party in the White House's air conditioning fans. All this and more right here on the Savage Nation.
There are people in power right now who have opinions about you based on their privilege of skin color. I am in the text. Pilate was European. Jesus was not European. They live in a world shaped by European standards of beauty, shaped by Moynihan studies, shaped by bell curves. They live in a different world from your world altogether. They are ignorant and arrogant, and these are graduates of Harvard and Yale setting policies for you based on the stupidity of David Hume, Immanuel Kant, Voltaire, George Wilhelm Friedrich Hegel, Thomas Jefferson, a pedophile, Theodore Roosevelt, and the racist Supreme Court. The ignorance and arrogance of white supremacy have the shapers and movers of world policy living in a different world from people of color altogether. And the sooner you realize that, the better off you're going to be.
You know how much that irritates me? Well, just think how your throat would feel this spring without Pine Brothers' softish throat drops. Remember Pine Brothers? Those soft, delicious throat drops we all grew up with. The ones your parents bought to soothe you when you had a sore throat that you couldn't stop eating after your throat got better. Well, they're back in natural honey and wild cherry flavors, and they're just as wonderful and effective as you can remember. Visit them on the web at pinebrothers.com. That's pinebrothers.com.
Savage.
We all have experiences that shake our faith. There are times where we have questions for God's plan relative to us. But that's precisely when we should remember Christ's own doubts and eventually
his own triumph. What's the whisper in the doubts?
Jesus told us as much in the book of John.
Let me ask you something. Would you trust anyone who has Al Sharpton in the White House? Would you trust anyone to be telling you the truth who invites a street radical, an agitator, to an Easter prayer breakfast? I wouldn't. So here we are, 1-800-449. You know the number. You know the book. You know the website. I got a pair of shoes to sell you, a floor mat, medication to give you a male enhancement, hair growth. It's getting frightening. It's all about race now. Wherever I turn, it's race. Now I wake up and I see that the Democrats are blacklisting Walmart and Coke. Now, why are they blacklisting
Walmart and Coca-Cola. Why? What does Coca-Cola have to do with anything? According to the wonderful, fine, upstanding citizens in the Congressional Black Caucus, they're leading a campaign against Coca-Cola and Walmart because these companies apparently want America not to be controlled by illegal aliens. In other words, they want voter ID laws put in place. Every poll shows that most Americans back voter ID laws. But the Congressional Black Caucus says that they are equal to segregation, and they want this knocked out. They want no voter ID laws. Now, why would black leaders not want voter ID laws? The only people who benefit from that are illegal aliens who are not citizens. They're the only ones who benefit from no voter ID laws. What's intriguing to me is that I feared this would happen. I feared that the way he would rig the election, steal the election, really, was through illegal aliens. I feared that. I said it to you at least 9 months ago, then 6 months ago. It's as though my prediction is coming true. And I want to talk about it. I have said to you that this is the most corrupt administration in our history. I've told it to you over and over again on my radio show. I've said that Barack Obama is presiding over the most corrupt administration in this country's history. I said he's bringing Chicago-style strong-arm politics to Washington. You've heard that before, right? Well, here's a little fact for you. It came and went real quickly. This is why he's sure he's going to win the election. This is why he whispered to Medvedev with the closed mic, when I'm reelected. This is why he said when I'm reelected again the other day. You want the answer? It's found in four paragraphs on page 25 of Trickle Down Tyranny. How many predictions have I made in this country in any of my speeches or books that were right? Many, correct? Well, unfortunately, I'm right again. Page 25, Trickle Down Tyranny. You won't see it in any other book. You ready for it? Did you hear that the Obama administration has sold the rights to processing our election results to a private company? That this critical component of a free election, the transparent tabulation of votes, will now be handled not by individual precincts, but by a company over which we will have little control. Did you know about that? SOE, a U.S. elections results processing company, which has handled processing election results from over 500 American jurisdictions, has typically provided prompt reporting of precinct-level results. However, SOE was recently acquired by SCYTL, a vote processing company based in Spain. In Spain. And this compromises the process enormously. Instead of producing election results trackable at the precinct level, votes will be transmitted to a central server where they will be counted. The problem is that once the votes are merged, it will be impossible to go back and check their integrity at the local level. I conclude this on page 25 with this. It is very likely that this is the final step in Barack Obama's corruption of the voting process. It has the promise of enabling him and his cohorts to control the outcomes of federal elections with no accountability. On top of that, it's one more step toward the formation of a global government, one of the aims of George Soros, whose puppet currently occupies the White House. Did you know that both Barack and Michelle Obama voluntarily gave up their law licenses and are not permitted to practice law in the United States? Why did he do that? It's the same sort of voluntary surrender that Bill Clinton made after he lied under oath. Are you aware of just how extensive the corruption was when Obama turned stimulus money? Well, I'm not going to read you the whole book. You bought the book. You're going to buy the book. However many sell. I would say to you that the story about vote rigging is the most important thing you can show to your so-called liberal wife, liberal husband, liberal child, because it's the end of freedom in America. Did you hear what I said? Do you think I made this up? Who owns SCYTL, a vote processing company based in Spain? Anybody who can find out who was on the board of directors and call the show, I will give you three books. I will give you Trickle Down Tyranny, I will give you Abuse of Power, and I'll give you Trickle Up Poverty. If anyone can crack the code and tell me who this company is, who controls it, who owns it, you get three free books today. Everyone else who gets on the air, who has a good story to tell, will be getting a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. So I have a few questions for you on the Savage Nation. You remember when Bush was president? Remember? And remember when the liberals who went out of business did nothing but Bush bashing day in and day out, and people got fed up with it, and we in the conservative media would say, God, how can they get away with this? Why are they bashing Bush? It's boring. Can't they do anything else, right? Well, do you think that my criticizing Obama on a daily basis, do you think my writing a book where I show you in black and white with reference after reference after reference, do you think it's boring? Do you think it's necessary? Or do you think it's racist of me to even criticize the president? Do you think any criticism of Obama is based upon the fact that he is has an African father? Because I've seen reviews on Amazon.com that were positive. Then I saw the plants from the Democrat machine saying, oh, here's another guy who's hateful that there's a black guy in the White House and I don't like it. Savage repeatedly and falsely accuses the president of engaging in promoting socialist policies. Am I right or wrong? Who's right, me or this plant of the government? Because others love the book. They're saying, just finished chapter one. As with a lobster and steak dinner, I will keep eating. I certainly know why I've always called Michael the bullseye man. Others say Michael is the true voice of the American people. His book, Trickle Down Tyranny, is the best laid out plan to get the country back. I don't want to read you the reviews. I can't read things on the air. You know, it's an interesting thing about radio that when I read things, I lose my energy. I do spontaneous shows. I can't read even for my own book without losing energy. Would you believe it? I'll be right back.
Savage.
Since Romney is the inevitable GOP nominee, who do you think is fit to be his running mate? Well, let's hear from someone who has her opinion, which is Grace Vuto of the Edmund Burke Institute. Dr. Grace, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's great to talk to you.
Is the GOP race really over?
You know, Michael, this race has been over for a while, and I've been up and all over the airwaves saying that. I mean, it's very, very clear that nobody will be able to beat Romney. He is on track to win. If he just keeps winning the current number of delegates, he will close this out by early June. Santorum and Gingrich, they should have dropped out weeks ago, and they should definitely drop out now.
In your opinion, what does Romney need to be looking for in a running mate?
The most important characteristic that he needs to look for, Michael, is competence. That is the key in this race. He himself projects an aura of, you know, he's a capable guy. And if he has a vice presidential candidate that has the excellent experience needed for the job, he'll do really well in the general election. Now, you know, he's getting all kinds of advice from folks, and I disagree with a lot of the advice that people are telling Romney. For example, Senator John McCain, in an interview, said that Romney should go with Sarah Palin. And Sarah Palin herself said that he should choose somebody like Colonel West, Congressman West. Both of those candidates, Sarah Palin and Congressman West, they're what I would call flashy candidates. They're very exciting at first, but ultimately they don't have the credentials to be a vice presidential nominee. And if Romney chooses somebody like that, somebody that's just flashy and trendy, rather than having the solid criteria that we need, that candidacy is going to implode. It's going to backfire on him, just like the Palin candidacy backfired on John McCain.
Okay, well, the other side is, who do you think Romney needs to avoid when picking a running mate?
Right, so the people he needs to avoid are definitely not somebody like Congressman Alan West, definitely not Sarah Palin. She bowed out after 2 years as governor of Alaska, and she'll never be able to live that down. She basically abrogated her responsibilities, and she doesn't have enough foreign policy experience, so she's off the list. Another big contender that everybody's talking about is somebody like Senator Marco Rubio from Florida. I think that would be another big mistake. The argument in his favor is that, you know, he's a darling of the Tea Party, the conservatives love him, and that he would possibly attract Hispanic voters. Now, Romney definitely has a problem currently with Hispanic voters. He's polling at about 23% with them, and in order to win a general election, he needs to take that up to at least the low 30s. However, my advice to Romney would be, do not choose Marco Rubio, and I'll tell you why. First of all, Marco Rubio doesn't have enough foreign policy experience. And secondly, and this is huge, and I don't think the media has talked about it enough, Marco Rubio is a Mormon. And this candidacy, Romney's, he's been struggling with the evangelical voters out there. The base is very, very uneasy about the fact that he is a Mormon. This would be actually the first individual, if Romney is elected, who is a non-Christian, who actually we knew was a non-Christian before he was elected. Remember that Obama, in the election campaign, he said that he was a Christian. There's a lot of doubts that were raised, but essentially he said that he was, and he still says that he is. Romney would be the first president in American history who we know is a Mormon, and he would, you know, be the first non-Christian elected to office. So there's no way the electorate is going to choose a Mormon president and vice president. And therefore, I think Marco Rubio is just going to be knocked right off of that list. In addition, Rubio has now come out saying that we ought to have a bill that grants some kind of legal rights to college students, children of illegals who are college students or who serve in the military. If Romney chooses Rubio, the media is going to put such a spotlight on this, and the base is going to say, well, wait a minute, Mr. Romney, you were saying throughout the primaries that you're this law and order kind of a guy, that you are going to ensure that we have a very strong system in terms of defending, you know, preventing illegals from getting rights that they shouldn't have. And suddenly you have a guy on the ticket that is peddling some kind of a version of the DREAM Act, the DREAM Act light, you know. And this, I think, would really backfire against them. So Marco Rubio also should be off the list. When it comes to trying to get a Hispanic strategy going, if that's really what Romney wants to do, the person that I would look to for that is somebody like the Puerto Rican government governor, Luis Fortunio. I love Luis Fortunio. This is a man who is a really strong conservative. He's a good social and a fiscal conservative. He's a pious Catholic. And he has shown the model. How do you attract Hispanic voters without selling conservatism, you know, right down the toilet? So if Romney really wants to try to get a Hispanic on the ticket, I would say he should get someone like Puerto Rican the governor of Puerto Rico, Luis Fortunio. But even having said that, I would still recommend to him, don't go in that direction. In this election, forget all that nonsense about trying to get somebody on the ticket who, you know, is going to appeal to the female vote or somebody who's going to appeal to minorities or Hispanics. Forget playing the gender and race card. My advice would be just choose the most competent person out there that you can find, because in this election, the electorate is just in no mood to make history. We don't care about a landmark election. We don't care about another minority or a woman rising and breaking a glass ceiling. That's all a luxury that at this time we cannot afford. Our country is almost bankrupt.
Who do you think is the best VP candidate for Romney?
What Romney needs to do is he needs to get somebody that's extremely capable. So I would say to him, forget the Hispanic strategy, because the risk that you take in trying to craft a Hispanic strategy of some kind is that you're going to try to get 10% of that electorate, and you're going to lose a lot of the Tea Party support and the conservative support that is already lukewarm. So that would be a recipe for disaster going forward. Who do I think that he should be looking at very carefully? I would say it would narrow it down to three people. They are the congressman from Wisconsin, Paul Ryan. They are Governor Chris Christie, and then the guy I really think he should choose. But let's look at these two folks. I love, as I think a lot of conservatives out there, Paul Ryan. This is a very serious guy. He's a very capable guy. He's really articulate, and he really is a darling of the conservatives. And he is absolutely brilliant in the way that he talks about reforming our entitlement state. The problem with choosing him is that he really is untested in foreign policy. So I think that would be a weak pick for him. In addition, what I would tell Romney is, look, this guy is brilliant in his current job as chairman of the budget, you know, where he is in Congress right now. Do not take him out of that position, because if you do become president, you guys can actually turn the country around if you leave him right where he is. I can't think of anybody in America who is better suited to that job than Paul Ryan. So I would recommend to Romney, don't remove him from there. If you leave him there, you guys are going to revolutionize our budget if you are elected. The other guy that I really, really like is Governor Chris Christie. And I think that would be a good choice for Romney, too. This would send a signal to conservatives that Romney is serious, at least about being a fiscal conservative. So that would, you know, shore up a lot of support among the conservative base. The problem that he would face, though, with Governor Chris Christie is not really that solid a social conservative. So then Romney is going to be plagued by this question. His own recent conversions to social conservatism are going to come under the spotlight. People are going to say, well, wait a minute. You chose a guy that is really not that much of a social conservative. And doesn't that tell us that your recent flip-flops are inauthentic? So I think that that charge of being inauthentic, of being slippery, that's going to stick to him like glue if he goes with a choice like Governor Chris Christie. Although I really, really love Chris Christie. I think of all the people that we've just named, this is a guy with unique charisma. He is a star. He has what I would call a megawatt personality, and I love the way he kicks the media around. So I think he could be a really good, you know, there's always the good cop and the bad cop on the beat in an election campaign. He'd be really good as the bad cop kicking the media around. The problem, though, is I think in the long run it would hurt Romney because of this charge that would stick to him that he's really kind of mushy on the social issues.
Okay, so the choices are really down to these guys. Rubio, Alan West, Chris Christie, Mitch Daniels, and Paul Ryan. Where are the women? Where are the women? Who do you expect them to pick? I would pick a woman if I were them.
You know, I do think Governor Romney will choose one of these three folks. I think he will go with either Paul Ryan, either Governor Chris Christie, or he will choose, and this is whom I think he should choose, and I really want to encourage him to go in this direction, the governor of Virginia, Bob McDonnell. I think that if you have him as the vice president, Romney will sail to victory, and I'll tell you why. This is a governor with executive experience, so nobody's going to be able to say that Romney chose somebody that wasn't qualified. He's got great domestic political experience. In addition, he has great foreign policy experience. He was a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army, and that sends a wonderful signal that you're not only experienced, but you're going to be a hawk because he's a conservative and everything. He's going to be a hawk in foreign policy. He's a very strong social conservative. And so the conservative base that has been so lukewarm over Romney's candidacy, they're going to go, yay, this guy is serious. He is going to govern as a social conservative of some kind. And he's done a wonderful job in his own state with fiscal conservatism. So if you choose Bob McDonnell, you have a candidate that is going to totally energize the conservative base. It's going to remove the charge that Romney is inauthentic because he's going to be actually doing something that is in tandem with how he has been talking during the primaries. And I think you're going to get the conservative base really, really energized. Remember, Romney is the moderate, so he doesn't need another moderate on the ticket. What he needs is a strong conservative because he is enough of a draw to get a lot of the independents, a lot of the moderates, and anybody who's disaffected with Obama to vote for Romney. He is the alternative to Obama out there. So he is good enough to attract the moderates and independents. What he needs is a good, strong, competent social conservative like Bob McDonnell, someone who is also very good at answering questions. He's very good at handling the media. I've seen him many times. I really love the way that he speaks. And I think this ticket, a Romney-McDonnell ticket, is going to convey to the nation that we are going to restore America onto a very sound fiscal footing. We are going to address a lot of the social-cultural issues, you know, in a conservative direction. We're going to be hawks on foreign policy. This ticket is going to convey competence and patriotism. And I think that that is really what Americans are crying out for right now. And if Romney chooses McDonnell, I think he's going to crush Obama in the general election.
Dr. Grace, thanks for joining us today on the Savage Nation.
Michael, it was great to talk to you, and all the listeners out there can see my piece at the EdmundBurkeInstitute.org. Click on Dr. Grace's latest column, and it's called The Right Running Mate.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
Number one, I'm not divisive. The media is divisive. Number two, CBS, ABC, MSNBC, and Fox News spent $4,000 each buying 20 years of my sermons so that they could hear what Barack Obama had heard for 20 years. Then they took an 8-year-old sermon and a 5-year-old sermon and took two clauses out of context to try to scare white voters away from Barack Obama. I ain't dividing, they dividing.
Well, a little music, a little sleigh ride music by Leroy Anderson. Let's hear it. Come on, play it. Let's try to lighten up a bit. Just because we found out today on the Savage Nation that a Spanish holding company now controls the outcome of our elections, why should you be upset? Take your Kool-Aid. Take your Soma. Go on a weight loss diet. Take a trip. Take a trip. Take a pill. Cool out. Chill it. You're a racist if you think this man is a socialist. You're a racist if you criticize him for criticizing the Supreme Court. You're a racist if you can't stand the hard-knuckle approach of this gang. So, cool it. Relax. Let's have some bookstore horror stories. I'm getting calls from around the country of the book being buried, about displays being overturned. Oh, can't happen here? Well, we don't have book burnings yet, so we have to be thankful about that. Why don't you listen to what the callers are saying? Are you ready? Let's start with Stephanie in New York on WOR. Stephanie, what did you find? Go ahead.
Well, I found that your book was smushed into the middle, so I took what was there and I made my own display. And I made up nice little displays all over the store, right in all the key places.
Well, it's supposed to be, I'll tell you again, this is a couple of days is all I do this. So you did the right thing, and I would encourage everyone else in this audience that if you want your voice heard, if you believe that my message is your message, if you believe that my message is important enough to not be buried, then go into the bookstores and demand, or move the book yourself. Stephanie, I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. Vince in New York has another horror story. Vince on WOR, what'd you find?
Hey, Dr. Savage, it's an honor to talk to you. I was in a bookstore, Barnes & Noble, and your book was in the middle of the new release section, but piled high was every other book, so I couldn't find it. I couldn't even see it. So I did the same thing Stephanie did. I moved the other books out of the way, put it right in front. Somebody was like, hey, what are you doing? And I said, it's fine. I have to make a few adjustments. And that
good
was that.
For you. That's right. Don't be never be intimidated by other customers, because they're just like you, and you have every right to display the book you want displayed. If they can push Rachel Madcow's book over mine, if they could take Rachel Madcow's book and push it, make it look like it's a bigger book than it is, you have every right to push the Savage over the Madcow. You know, I want to go back to that. I raised something that's shocking, and most people didn't even hear me, and they don't even want to hear it. They're afraid. They're uncomfortable. I'm going to say it again because I think it's an important discussion that someone who really specializes in these things should pick up and write an essay about. Barack Obama never identified with the black radical theological, movement at all. He even wrote about it. He said he never even thought about it until he got to Columbia, when he decided, he consciously made a decision to identify with the black radicals of his time because that was the way to go. That was cool. And look how far it's taken him, all the way into the White House. But the man really has no grievance in that his father is of African descent. I've seen it my whole life. It makes me nauseous. It's that attitude, the chip on the shoulder attitude. I've seen it in other peoples, other races, other creeds, other religions, where they find a justification for being just what they are, using a weapon against people. Extra, extra, read all about it. Fort Hood shooting suspect seeks trial delay again. Read all about it. Yeah, it's happening again. I was the only one in the media remembers that he killed 13 and shot 30 people, shouting Allahu Akbar, and they won't try him. The U.S. Army willfully ignored the pro-jihad rants of Major Nidal Hassan, and multiple reports by his superiors about the pro-Islamist internet postings he made before Hassan killed 13 and wounded 30. Why is the government pushing this off until after the election? You could put two and two together. But what's intriguing to me is that Big Sis Napolitano wants businesses to look for people who buy night flashbulbs, waterproof matches, customers who pay with cash. You're supposed to be on the lookout for customers who are missing hands and fingers, or any customer who makes extreme religious statements. Because these could be indicators that the buyers are potential terrorists, according to Napolitano's logic. Well, by the same logic, though, is that the government itself overlooked exactly that kind of activity. It's now asking citizens to report in the interest of promoting political correctness. They ignored Nidal Hassan's rants. They ignored Hassan writing his reports with Allahu Akbar, his internet postings. And now they're telling you to look for someone who buys night flashlights? Pages 258, 259 of Trickle Down Tyranny. One of the things authors of nonfiction books fear the most is that the book will be out of date before it's published. I struggled with this right to the day of publication. I had to be somewhat far-seeing and know exactly what to put in there so the book maintained its relevancy, because in the age of the internet, you'd say books are irrelevant. The news is breaking so fast. Well, let me ask you something. Have you learned anything yet from me on this show or from the book itself that you think is still relevant? How about, like, everything? How about the writing itself? How about the fact that this book is not about a cover with a pretty picture on the front and empty pages? Because my name is not Wallbanger. I'm not up there with a hammer. You know, if I had a hammer, this is the Savage Nation.
Savage.